Hello, dear listeners. Just recently, I was at an author event at my coffee shop, and one of the authors got up to read, and I was so taken by what she was reading, I thought, I'm going to be shameless yet again and see if she might want to be on my podcast. Christina Ramirez said yes. And her book, Empowered by Discomfort, brings so much forth for me because I love the word empowered, but then there's that second word, discomfort. And I was really intrigued to know more about what Christina was writing about. In this episode, we talk about her kids who, at the very young ages of 2 and 3, and maybe even before that, are incredibly talented musicians. They're just born for it. And it's really interesting. Christina relates this story of what happens one day when they're at the Taos Pueblo, which really beautifully frames kind of the relationship between her kids and their instruments. And then Christina shares another magical moment after the death of her husband about finding a place to live here in Santa Fe. She is incredibly talented, incredibly generous, and also, what doesn't she do? She snowboards, she competes in races all over the place, she's a change maker, she's an author, she's a creative. She's kind of like who I want to be when I grow up. I can't wait for you to meet her because this conversation is really sweet. So now, episode 136 and my interview with Christina Ramirez.
But one time they were playing at the farmer's market in Taos, because again, like they would play and they played every Monday night at a hotel in Taos. Like they were, you know, they really performed a lot. And so this woman comes up to me and she was from the Pueblo and she had a little stand of oils next to where I was standing watching my kids play. And she's like, you know, sometimes the instrument chooses you. So magic in me, I think like I lived in a magical world in the sense like my sisters were older than I was. By the time I came along, my parents, you know, they left Cuba, they lost everything, and then they made it all back. And by the time I came along, it was everybody was happy and everybody had everything. And I was so much younger that I was alone a lot. So I very much lived in the world of my imagination. So I think that was always a thread in me. And when I got sober, I mean, I was suicidal. So I got my stomach pumped more than I would care to admit. But I remember the day that I decided like, okay, clearly I'm not an idiot. You know, like if I really wanted to die, I would be dead because Lord knows that I'm, and you know, have done a lot of irresponsible things. But I'm not dying. So I need to learn how to live. And I remember that day, like I knelt down and I just surrendered. I prayed, I don't know, to a God that I didn't even believe in. But from that moment on, I don't know what changed. I think it's like I started to listen and I started to learn, like I started to be more enthusiastic about, okay, if I'm going to live, I want to be happy. I want to learn how to be happy. And in the beginning, like the early years of my sobriety, everything was magical. You know, and I was very much in tune with, you know, I was growing in my spirituality and things like that. And then over time, that fell up, like I didn't need it as much, or it wasn't as big a part of me as it was in the past. But then when Joe died, like I remember when, you know, I was holding his hand as he took his last breath, and even though I had never felt that much pain in my life, there was a part of me that understood that I was going to be okay. It was like this little chord or this little line that whispered, you know, it's like the way you're feeling now, you're not going to feel like this forever. You've been here before. And since then, I feel like I've once again tried to reconnect with my magic and reconnect with my spirituality. So one of my best and favorite stories of that is I moved to Santa Fe in March of 2022. And that was when the housing market was ridiculous. And, you know, a place would go in the market and it would, you know, it was an hour and it was already sold. It was that time. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to work. You know, we need a place. I can't rent a place because I have two dogs and two cats and two kids, and it's going to cost me just as much. And we had, I used some life insurance, whatever. So we started looking for places and, you know, there was nothing. So one time it was a Friday night and a place came in the market. And I was like, oh, you know, this looks like a really like a kind of place that's in our budget. It looks great. But the next day, my kids snowboard and I snowboard and we had a competition. So we weren't going to be able to go to the open house. So I was like, oh, whatever. So my kid goes to a friend's house. They spend the night and he oversleeps. And I'm like, and so we... I'm like, how can you oversleep? Now we've all lost it. We didn't go. And I was like, well, maybe we can go to Santa Fe and look for places, because I wanted them to be a part of the, like, we've bought houses before and they've always been a part of it. So I call my realtor and I says, you know, there's this house. It came in yesterday. And she's like, you know, it's very hard to get an appointment like this, but let me call and let me try. So she tried and the guy let us come in before the open house started. So they had like 15 people already to see the house. And because I was driving from Taos, I got here a little bit early and the owners were leaving. And I saw that they were from, you know, that they were from Mexico. So I talked to them for like a few minutes in Spanish and we saw the house and the house was perfect. Everything is new and brand, whatever. To make a long story short, because I'm already making this long, the house, by the time that I get back to Taos to put it in offer, they already had three other offers. And I was like, well, you know, whatever, it'll be what it'll be. And somehow we got the house. So I was like, oh my goodness, you know, we just bought a house in like 5 minutes. Okay. I guess that's how things are done. But at the same time, we have a code for everything in our, like for our phones and the computer. I'm not going to tell you what the code is, because if not, anybody could rob me blind. But let's say it's like 1234, right? So we left, we buy the house, and the house has a lock, like with a code, like one of those locks like that. Guess what the freaking code was on the door? It was our code. It was that one, like the equivalent of the 1234. It was the same code. And I was like, wow. Like A, that we got the house, and B, that the house that we got had the same code. I felt like, okay, this is, you know, this is magic. This is, I'm sure that like a scientific person can call it a coincidence. And like, I know how it happens, you know, you have to stick four numbers in the freaking thing. So, but what are the chances, you know?
Are you at all surprised that your kiddos are both, you know, following this track in music?
No. So I was, they've been playing music since kindergarten. Like my oldest one wanted a guitar. And so he went to Toys R Us, and there used to be a comic called Phineas and Ferb. I don't know if anybody remembers that. So he used to walk around with his little Phineas and Ferb guitar, and he couldn't, like his fingers were too small to make any sound, but he wanted to go to lessons. So I put him in lessons. And the teachers would tell me, is like, I can't teach him anything. Like he's too, like, he can't make a sound. So he started on an electric guitar where he could make sounds. And I mean, that's how small they were. And then my drummer, in kindergarten, there was like a drum class where they had these drum pads, and all they did was just like practice on the drum pad, and he loved it. And since then, I have one is a percussionist and the other one is a guitar player. So they've busked everywhere. Like I have videos of them like in Memphis, you know, like in a street corner busking, and they would love it because they're really good, but they were yay, you know, like tiny. So people thought they were super cute, and they'd make a killing. They'd make like $200 an hour, you know, in tip. Yes. People don't like, So they're like, yeah. And then they would go and spend it on like video games or whatever it is that they did. But they've always like that thread in their life has always been a constant. They've always been in music. They've always had music classes where we're performing in a band or in a concert or in like, there was this place called School of Rock. They've been in School of Rock forever in Miami. So I'm not surprised, but one time they were playing at the farmer's market in Taos, because again, like they would play and they played every Monday night at a hotel in Taos. Like they were, you know, they really performed a lot. And so this woman comes up to me and she was from the Pueblo and she had a little stand of oils next to where I was standing watching my kids play. And she's like, you know, sometimes the instrument chooses you. And it's like, so the instruments chose you guys as parents because you would allow the instrument to live through my kid. And I loved that. Like for me, it was just like, I don't know. There was just something so magical about it, or just like that the instruments found my kids, but it was my only role was to allow it. And what they do with it, I don't know. Like my guitarist doesn't really want to perform. Like he's more into music production. My percussionist does love performing, and they'll, you know, I'm not going to force them to do anything with it, but it has been the story, you know, the story of their lives has been music. So, and I love that.
That's it, another episode down the hatch. I need to thank Christina for being so wonderful and sweet and thoughtful during this interview and for giving me some time in her really busy schedule to kind of share just a little bit of what she considers miraculous and magical in her world. I'd love to ask everyone who's listening to this podcast, please do consider leaving a rating or writing a little review wherever you find the podcast. These ratings and reviews help others find us. And for us creators, they're ever so important because, well, it's just groovy to kind of know what people think about you. I need to thank the creators of the music used in this episode. Justin Allen Arnold, Stephen O'Brien, Taiga Sound Productions, Winnie the Moog, and Fat Sounds. For complete attribution, please see the Bite Size Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to books, including Empowered by Discomfort, Christina's book, playlists, artists, and other groovy things that I hope lighten and brighten your day. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Christina. Be open to the adventure. Put yourself out there. You know, she didn't know she was going to get that house, but she created a relationship with the owners who were going to sell. She put herself out there. She put her story out there. And then the house was theirs. You never know what's going to happen when you put yourself out there, when you introduce yourself to new people, who you're going to meet, who they're going to know that they might introduce you to that could completely open up your life. Staying safe at home is all right, I guess. But if you're like Christina and you put yourself out there, you never know what kind of magic is going to come your way.